Now, I can't believe how many times I've forgotten a meeting in my calendar. If you've ever asked me to come over or wanted to have a coffee with me, you'll notice that I'll put it in my calendar straight away. Now, I do this all the time because if I didn't do it and put it in my calendar, I would then totally forget. Sometimes I even say to you, can you send me a message so that I'll remember? I'll look at the message and then I'll put it in my calendar. Now, I got so bad in Ecuador with this that I started organising people to meet me at a cafe which was just around the corner from our house, or I would just get them to meet me at my house so that when I saw their car pull up, I'd go, oh, that's right, I've got a meeting. I'd never be late for a meeting that way, and I'd always be home. They'd ring the doorbell and I'd say, welcome, thanks for coming. Now, I've had some problems here at Warunga too. I know that someone messaged me about 20 minutes after we decided to meet and said, are you still coming tonight? Oh, it made my heart sink. I wasn't going to make it in time. I had no excuse and I felt sick. I'd been trying to organise a time with this person for a long time. We finally got a time and then I just forgot. Now, thankfully, that person is a very forgiving person. And we've since met and everything is okay. Now, you might be laughing at me, but I'm thankful I'm in good company. And I know I'm not the only one who forgets. See, being forgetful around my calendar has meant that I've had to change a few things around. After I completely forgot that meeting recently, I had a good look at my phone, worked out with the kids and the family how to set some extra reminders in my calendar. I've set my phone to notify me 3 times before every meeting, and I set my computer and iPad to do exactly the same. And so I think to myself, well, surely one of the 9 reminders will help me to remember. I changed the ringtone on my phone to be a noise that I've never heard on anyone else's phone. My iPad's got something different. I've had to take control of my calendar to make sure I don't miss anything. I've had to take action in order to remember. See, I don't like the thought of you waiting at a cafe for me to turn up while I'm sitting in my office not knowing. I want to know, so I've had to take control. And I'm pleased to say that so far, so good. I haven't forgotten a meeting. I hear the reminders all the time of and on all the times of the meetings that need to happen, and I feel like I'm remembering my responsibilities. Now, as we look at Joshua chapter 4, it seems like God knows what our memory is like. It seems like he knows that we're prone to forget. And in the kindness of God, he doesn't ridicule us, but he gives us ways to remember who he is and what he's done for us. And that's what we'll see in Joshua chapter 4. And that's what the stones are all about. It's about God helping his people remember that the Lord did all these things for them. It's about God helping his people remember that he redeemed them. Now, we're going to open our Bibles in a moment, but I first want to speak about the promised land. Now, it can be a little bit, so this is a little aside from where I would normally dive into the Bible and show you, but I want to dive into the promised land for a moment because this is a bit of a hot topic, isn't it? I planned to look at Joshua last August or September, not knowing what would happen in October, and in October, war started between Israel and Palestine. And what a tragedy. It's a tragedy, isn't it? 2 people groups at war with each other. And it just so happens that we're looking at Joshua, and it's all about Israel taking the land. Now, for some reason, I think it's worth me saying something about this. Joshua is about fulfilling the promise to bring God's special people into a land that he showed Abraham many years before. The story of the Bible from Genesis up till this point has been God working to fulfill that promise. And we see in Joshua that they go into the land. But there's a problem. There's always been a problem, actually, because God's people are continually rebellious. God says one thing, and what do the people do? Well, it seems to be God saying this, and they do this, the opposite. And the promise to live in the promised land came with conditions. And what happens as we go throughout the rest of the Old Testament before Jesus is a picture of Israel's rebellion. They can't live up to God's standards, and so God himself in Jesus has to come and bring in a new way to the promised land. And the new way into the promised land isn't what we call Israel today, but it's about a new heaven and a new earth. So I've got some slides to help us understand what's going on here and why I keep talking about the promised land in the future. Now, in the first slide, we see it's a picture of a cross and it's a timeline, okay? It looks like a hill, but it's a timeline. And in the second slide, we see that the timeline is from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And we see that it's divided by Jesus coming to earth. So when we think about the promised land in the Old Testament, the third slide shows us that Israel is that promised land. So the next slide, we see that Israel is the promised land in the Old Testament. But as we're heading to the new, the promised land is this promise of a new heaven and a new earth. And in the last slide, I've sort of put some pictures there to help us understand what that all represents. I've put the picture of the 12 tribes of Joshua, as you've seen on some of the flies that I've got in the entryway, and then the other one represents the new heaven and the new earth. It's not really recycled, but I think you get the point. Okay? Everything renewed. I think that's why you'll hear me continually talk about the promised land that the Israelites looked forward to, and why I keep talking about the promised land that we look forward to as followers of Jesus. This is the promised land. Jesus died and rose again from the dead for us, and his promise is that we will go to be with him forever in the promised land, or as it's often referred to in the New Testament, the new heaven and new earth. And this will happen when Jesus comes back and takes us to be with him. Now, and this is an important thing for us to notice, that we too can look forward to the promised land that Jesus has made for us, that he'll make for us in the new heaven and the new earth. So I don't think we need to head into politics or be pro-Israel, pro-Palestinian, because that's a tragedy. But as we look at Joshua, I want us to know that we're looking at the big picture of the story of the Lord. The Lord wanting to bring his people into the promised land. And we see that he's persistent, don't we? We see that he keeps going. And in the end, he sends his son as a way to bring us into his promised land. Now, we know all of this because the book of Joshua is all about the Lord, isn't it? And it's about the Lord providing a promised land for his people. And he did that through Israel in the Old Testament. And as we look forward, he does it for us today as we look forward to the new promised land, the new heaven and earth. Now, if you want me to clarify anything around that, then I'm quite happy to talk about that after the service. Maybe you want to write down a question that you have, then please come and talk to me after the service. But I think for now, this is a helpful way for us to keep looking at the land, and as we go into the battle, the battles in the next couple of chapters, I'll speak a bit more about, you know, was that okay? why is it there? They're difficult things to understand, but I think we need to talk about them. And I think this helps us understand Joshua and see, especially with everything going on around the world. So now we're going to head to Joshua chapter 4. Now I'm testing your memory here. And I hope you're not as forgetful as me. I told you that Joshua 4 is all about God helping his people to remember that it is the Lord who did these things for them. It's about God helping his people remember that he redeemed them. Now, open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. And if you'd like, get the outline as well. And let's see what we can learn from this chapter of Joshua. So what happens in Joshua? Well, as you look at Joshua 4, you can divide it into a few sections. And I'm going to look at the whole of Joshua 4 in little bits, and then we'll finish off with some application. Now, if you want to draw something in your Bibles, you might like to draw a line at either verse 9 or verse 13. I can't tell which, but that's basically the first section. And as you look at verses 1 to 9, you see what the Lord spoke. We see a pattern here, which is repeated later on in the chapter. We see in verses 1 to 3 that the Lord spoke to Joshua, and then Joshua spoke, that was in verses 1 to 3, then Joshua spoke to the to the 12 in verses 4 to 7, and then the 12 were obedient to Joshua in verses 8 to 9. Now, in 1 to 3, we see the Lord telling Joshua to choose 12 men or choose 12 to pick up stones from the Jordan, right where the ark will be. Now, the movement of the stones in this chapter can be a little bit confusing. And if you looked at the ESV, it will make it even more confusing for you. So I'm going to tell you what I understand is going on in this passage. And then you can have a think about whether that's right, whether you think that adds up or not. So it seems to me that Joshua finds 12 stones and places them near the ark, next to the priests who are carrying the ark. And then the 12 who are chosen then come along and pick up the stones from next to the ark and take them to make a memorial at Gilgal. And so I think the Hebrew is a little funny. I think that's why it's a little bit hard to understand. Okay, it seems quite easy when you read the NIV, but it's not as simple as that. So that anyway, that's a bit of an idea of what's going on. And then 1 to 3 is about the Lord telling Joshua to pick 12 men to pick up these stones in order to take them to Gilgal. And then in verse 4 to 7, we see that Joshua then tells the 12 appointed men to collect the stones from where the ark will be. And again, there's repetition here. It's not, is this another set of stones? No, it's just, we just get a bit of explanation as to what the stones are for in verses 6 to 7. And we see that they are to serve as a reminder. And I'll read those verses about halfway through verse 6. It says, "What do these stones mean? Tell them, that's the children, that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Now, the stones were there to help them remember, and that's what we're looking at today. Remember. And then in verses 8 to 9, we see that Israel are obedient to what Joshua has been told and what he told the 12. And this is where I told you to draw a line, and you could also then move it to verse 13. And in verses 10 to 13, we see the Israelites cross over the Jordan. We're told that this was done according to what the Lord told Joshua and according to what Moses told him. We're again reminded of the promise that the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh made to cross to help fight the people in the land. They wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan, you might remember, but they promised to fight for the land first. And so here they are keeping their promise to the Lord and to the people. And that sort of marks the first section of the chapter. And then the rest of the chapter can be split into three different events. The first is in verse 14, and we're told that Joshua is exalted before the people. Now, this is important because in the previous chapter, the Lord had said to Joshua that he would exalt Joshua before all the people. That was back in chapter 3, verse 7, where we heard that the Lord would exalt Joshua. And then here in verse 14, we're told that he was exalted. That day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him all the days of his life, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. So it tells us that Joshua was now accepted by the people as their new leader. That's in verse 14. Now the next small little section is in verses 15 to 18. And we see a similar pattern here to what we saw in verses 1 to 9. And we see in verses 15 and 16, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Then in 17, Joshua spoke to the priests. And then in verse 18, we see the obedience of the priests. There's this little pattern of the Lord speaking, Joshua speaking, and then the obedience. And we saw them going to the water last week in chapter 3, verse 17, 3, verse 13, where it says, "As soon as the priests who carried the ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." And then in verse 17, chapter 3, 17, they stood on dry ground. The priests who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. And as the priests are standing on dry ground in the middle of the river, the stones are moved about And then in verse 18, the priests who took the ark into the water are now told to come out of the water. And as they come out of the water, the Jordan returns to its normal flooded state. Look at verse 18. It says, "And the priests came up out of the river carrying the ark of the covenant of the Lord. No sooner had they set their feet on the dry ground than the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and ran at flood stage as before." Now we saw the miracle of the water last week being held back, and now we see that the miracle of water returning to its original state, of course, just as the priests step out of the water. And we're to notice that the Lord is in control of all that's going on. And then we come to the last section of Joshua, chapter 4, 19 to 5:1, where we see what the stones are for. Again, to remind you, just in case you forgot, it's all about remembering. Remembering what the Lord did for Israel to get them into the promised land. In verse 19, we see that it tells us that they made it to Gilgal. In verse 20, they set up the 12 stones they took from the river. And then Joshua says to the Israelites what the stones are for. And look at verses 21 to 24 with me. I think it's worth reading those. Verse 21, "Joshua said to the Israelites, 'In the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them, Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God.'" Now, two things to note here. The first is that there's an expectation that parents will explain to their children what the Lord did for the Israelites. There's an expectation that the kids of future generations will ask you about God, and parents will have answers. When they go for a picnic down by Gilgal, or when they go travelling through Israel, there's an expectation that they'll see the monument that's set up with 12 stones, and the kids will say, "Oh, what are the stones for? What are the stones for?" And Joshua tells them how to answer. But notice how he doesn't just say to them, "Oh, tell them about the Jordan." But he tells them to remind them of the Red Sea too. Not just one, but two miracles. Why? Because God knew his people. He knew they'd forget. He knew the mind of men and realised that they'd need reminding that the Lord is their God, that the Lord did all this for them. Because a day would come when the people would forget. A day would come when the people would rely on their own efforts and their own goodness. A day would come when they'd forget the God who saved them and brought them into the promised land. Reminders of God's goodness. Reminders of God's work among the people. That's what these are. See, the book of Joshua, again, it's all about the Lord. And here we're given a reminder to remember. To remember the powerful and mighty God who brought the Israelites into the land. Now, I said there were two things here, and that's the first thing to see. That there's an expectation that parents will explain to their kids. And now for the second. The reminder was also to serve the rest of the world. And we see that in verse 24. It says, "He did this so that all peoples of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God." The memorial is not just for Israel, but it's for the whole world. Come and see the 12 stones and let us tell you the story of our great God. Visitors would come into the land and they would see the pile of stones and they'd either say, "Nice pile of rocks," or they'd say, "What are they for? Why the pile of stones?" And the Israelites would get a chance to speak about the Lord who brought them out of the land of slavery and into the promised land. It's about God making God known to all people. And what we see from Joshua 5 verse 1, in many ways it worked, didn't it? says there in 5 verse 1, chapter 5 verse 1. Now when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and the Canaanite kings along the coast heard how the Lord had dried up the Jordan before the Israelites until they had crossed over, their hearts melted in fear and they no longer had the courage to face the Israelites. Have you ever felt this before? Not having the courage to face something? I've felt like this before. I've wanted to say something to someone and have not had the courage. I normally speak my mind. I'm not usually too bothered by telling things to you straight. But believe it or not, I have moments when I'm silent, almost fearful of what might happen if I speak. See, this is what the kings of the lands experienced as they thought about going to war. Fear. Because the Lord who has brought the Israelites across not just one river, but two. Fear because they're coming with a God who is so powerful to stop the waters and who wipes out other nations before them. And that's what the memorial was all about. Remembering and knowing who the Lord is. Don't forget. But we know Israel's history, don't we? And they, like us, are a forgetful bunch. If you have some time, you might like to read Psalm 78. In verses 1 to 8, it tells us of how the Israelites were to remind one another of all the good things that the Lord has done. But when you get to verse 9, all we hear is how they forgot. They rebelled. They put the Lord to the test. They didn't believe. They didn't remember. And this is the pattern of Israel from when they crossed the Red Sea throughout their whole history. They forgot again and again. And it's a good lesson for us, isn't it? To remind ourselves of what the Lord has done for us. The cross behind me is fixed to the wall. I think that's a good thing. It's a permanent reminder that we all need. If we go back to that last slide again, Andrew, hopefully that was just a light. Yeah. You know, we're not able to go into the promised land by our own efforts. But as we trust in the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross, which is why it's there, we're reminded that because of Jesus, we can go into this promised land. And we need that reminder, don't we? See, Joshua 4:19 reminds us of this too. It mentions that the date, believe it or not, the date was the 10th day of the first month. And the date is significant. See, the 14th day of the first month is the Passover. And the 10th day of the first month is the day they chose the lamb that they would slaughter. So as people who live this side of the cross, where the promised land is the new heaven and new earth, we sit knowing that Jesus is our Passover lamb. And again, the setting up of the stones points to the cross. And all these reminders show us just how gracious our Heavenly Father is. Why? Well, because we're a forgetful bunch. We have the Israelites. The Israelites had these stones to remember the crossing, but we have a few things that help us as well, don't we? Again, the cross behind me, a reminder that Jesus made a sacrifice for you and me. But Jesus knew we'd forget things, so he also gave us baptism as a way to remind one another that salvation comes through Jesus who washes us clean. It's a reminder that we've been regenerated by the Spirit. And he also gave us the Lord's Supper, which Matt talked about, and we'll be celebrating next week. And the Lord's Supper is a clear reminder that Jesus died on the cross and rose again for you and me. And we need these reminders of the forgiveness that we have received through Jesus, don't we? Why has he given us those things? Well, because we're forgetful. How forgetful are you? Why not take the reminder? Jesus has washed away all your sins. Baptism, Lord's Supper, coming to church, seeing the cross. Remind yourself every day that the living Lord Jesus died for you. Why? Because otherwise we'll forget. Have you ever wondered why there are so many memorials around Warunga? There's a memorial up the road here on Stuart and Cleveland. It's a reminder of the first communication between Australia and England, I think by telegraph or something like that. Near the station, there's a war memorial, reminding us of the lives lost to give us freedom in this country. But why is it there? Because we forget. We forget the pain that war has caused. We forget the sacrifice of so many people who fought in those wars. We forget again and again, so we need the reminder. Like we saw in verse 21, many of us are parents and children too. We need to know that what this symbol of the cross means. What's the cross all about, Dad? Why did Jesus die? Why am I a sinner? See, the cross means we get to ask, or we get asked good questions. And that's a good thing. So keep the reminders present, clear and present, so that you can speak to whoever asks. And look, and while it might be good for me to remember that I'm having coffee with you this week, there are things about God that I need in my calendar too. I need to remind myself regularly that Jesus died for me. I need the reminder that my own efforts don't win me favour with God, but only by trusting in Jesus am I safe. Packer in Knowing God says that we should wake up every morning saying these things. I'm a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Saviour is my brother. And every Christian is my brother too. Why does he want us to say those things every day? Because everything on that list is something we're prone to forget. We think we're kings. We believe that we're in control of everything. We work hard to build a home here on this earth. We live as though we're going to live here forever, when we should be looking to the new heaven and the new earth. We forget that Jesus is the one who saves and has adopted us into his family. And as we look around the room, we forget that every other follower of Jesus is part of my family. Why the reminder? Because we forget. I'm a child of God. God is my Father. Heaven is my home. Every day is one day nearer. My Saviour is my brother. And every Christian, my brother too. Now, I've gone to some great lengths to make sure I don't forget meetings with anyone. 9 reminders every meeting. I mean, you should hear the family when they hear all my devices ring. But as I think about that, what am I willing to do to remember the things that the Lord has done for me? Am I willing to write it down 9 times? Am I willing to put notes on the wall all around me? Am I willing to read my Bible every day? Am I willing to go to Bible study? What lengths am I willing to go to remember that Jesus gave his life for me? And so let me ask you too. What lengths are you willing to go to remember what the Lord Jesus has done for you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we lift you up today for your great plans to rescue your people and bring them into a forever home with you. Lord, we look at the big plan of the Bible, and you're always working to rescue your people. We pray that you never give up, never stop reaching out to rescue those whom you love. Use us as you see fit, Lord. Use us to reach those people who need to hear of your loving grace. We ask also that you help us to remember. Remember that we are your children, that you're our Father, that heaven is our home, and every day is one day nearer. Help us remember that Jesus is our Saviour, but that remind us that he's also our brother, and that every Christian is our brother too. Lord, we're prone to forget, but we ask that you help us to remember, and we ask all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.